The FBI is the most sophisticated law enforcement agency in the world, pursuing the most dangerous criminals. In Houston, Texas, a fifth grade girl disappears from her neighborhood, a block from her home.
Your daughter's out there, and you can't do anything to help her.
The Bureau mobilizes. A desperate hunt for the kidnapper leads agents from Texas to Louisiana and back.
We were dealing with a highly mobile sex offender who had now become a serial abductor.
Agents race to save a young girl and stop a sadistic predator before he strikes again.
We're hoping each and every time we pick up that phone, this is the clue that's going to bring this child back home.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Drop your weapon!
FBI, Criminal Pursuit. Houston, Texas, May 1st, 2001. It's a typical Tuesday afternoon in May, and 11-year-old Leah Henry is on her way home from a busy day at school. At 3:30 p.m., Leah is dropped at her neighborhood bus stop and begins her walk home, only a short block away. Almost 2 hours later, Linda Henry grows concerned. Her daughter Leah isn't home from school. She immediately phones her ex-husband, Tim, hoping Leah's with him.
Hello.
Did you pick up Leah?
And where's Leah? And I'm going, well, she's not here.
She's not with him.
And she said, well, she's not here.
And we're going, well,
she's never done that. She's just never done that.
She's supposed to be home by now.
Why don't I call the school and see if she's there for some reason?
All right, just hurry up.
I was a little irritated. What the heck is Leah up to?
It's been nearly a year since the Henrys divorced, but Tim still remains close to his daughters. He may not live under the same roof anymore, but he knows Leah's day-to-day routine.
The normal situation would be for her to take the bus home, but her mother would pick her up at times I would.
Tim retraces his daughter's steps, starting where the fifth grader attends classes for accelerated students. Tim speeds to her school, 6 miles away, but no one there has seen Leah.
There was just no explanation in my mind where she could be. I was just worried, what the heck has she done? Where in the hell is she?
Increasingly distraught, Tim calls the Houston Police Department. An officer does a quick canvas of the Henry neighborhood. They get an early break. A neighbor tells police he saw a young girl matching Leah's description get off the bus and then get into a small white car. The news jolts Leah's parents.
That was a very gut-wrenching moment. I knew that we had an abduction. I knew that it was bad. And I think I did go into a state of shock, because at that point I knew that was serious problem.
Leah's case is turned over to the Homicide Division and their most experienced detectives.
Nothing is ever quite so tragic as a case that involves a child victim. And those cases are taken very personally by investigators. Nothing is approached more seriously than that.
While homicide detectives gear up for the investigation ahead, the Henrys reach out to their friends, family, anyone for help. Word of Leah's abduction reaches Gay Smither, a Houston mother who knows all too well what the Henrys are going through.
Our daughter Laura was abducted and murdered. She was missing for 17 days. When you know that your child is missing and you don't know where your child is, it is absolutely the most paralyzing, terrifying moment in your life.
Gay and her husband Bob created the Laura Recovery Center to help families like the Henrys The team mobilizes to aid in the search for Leah.
When your child is missing, you've got to turn every rock and every stone to find your child. You don't have a second to wait.
Tim Henry's instincts are telling him the same thing. When a friend alerts him that Lee has been sighted, he investigates the tip himself.
Somebody had spotted a young girl of Leah's age with some adults in a gas station near the house. So I went to that gas station. They showed me the tape.
The tape is fuzzy. The girl's image is obscured, and Tim can't be sure whether or not it's Leah. Just before midnight, a concerned citizen notifies the FBI of the possible abduction. The FBI assigns two of their top agents to Leah's case. Special Agent Mark Young and his partner, Special Agent David Resch. Agents Young and Resch quickly arrive at the Henry home to question Leah's distraught parents.
Has she ever done this before?
She's never done anything like this. She's always on time. She wouldn't go anywhere. She's a very smart girl. She's very responsible. She gets off the bus and she comes home.
They want to know more about Leah.
Are these the most recent pictures?
Our description of Leah was that she was a good student, an innocent person. And as far as our way of thinking, there was something wrong.
Tim tells agents about screening the security tape. They want to see it for themselves. But there's a problem. The tape is locked away, and the owner, who has the only key, is at home, asleep.
They called the owner up, said, come on down. And she said, well, I can't come down. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, we're going to blow the door if you don't get down here. And she came down.
Hold on, officer.
Thank you.
I'm fine.
Thanks for seeing us this late.
After reviewing the tape, FBI agents determine the girl is not Leah. And they're back to square one.
Time is of the essence in a child abduction investigation. The FBI brings a crisis management capability, which allows us to wrap a command post around an ongoing, fast-moving investigation.
By now, the FBI and Houston police fear Leah Henry is in the hands of a dangerously aggressive predator.
Within the first few hours of a child abduction, we're aware that our victim is possibly being assaulted and maybe killed. And that first lead that comes in may be the most important lead that we get.
Agents re-interview the neighbor who last saw Leah alive and glean more details. Their suspect is a white male in his mid-40s. His car, a white two-door hatchback. They release the new information so it will hit the morning newscast.
The first 24 hours is critical. Oftentimes, if that child is going to be murdered, it happens pretty quickly within that first 24 hours.
Throughout the night, a desperate, all-out effort is underway to find 11-year-old Leah Henry.
We spent all night looking and go to bed that night. It was just exhausting, but you wanted to be in motion. You wanted to be looking.
Tim Henry can't sleep with the thought of his young daughter in the hands of a stranger.
It just never crossed my mind that people could even be monsters like that. I was afraid of monsters coming out of my closet or from under my bed. I didn't think the world could actually consist of people that were just disgusting. I was in shock. I didn't know what to do.
It's been several hours since fifth grader Leah Henry went missing. And according to an eyewitness, she got into a small white hatchback just a block from her house. Leah has been bound into submission by a strange man who's driving her miles from home. It's a terrifying journey, and she fears the worst is yet to come.
I don't remember too much until the first time he touched me.
An hour outside of Houston, they pull into a deserted rest stop where Leah is violently raped. Confident Leah is going nowhere, her kidnapper unties her hands.
I was in so much pain I couldn't even move, and all I saw was like lights of cars going past me. I put my hand on the window so maybe someone could see it. All I could see was just everything passing by me and like not knowing what was gonna happen.
Many hours later, she sees an opportunity to escape.
We had stopped. All I remember is there's a road, there's trees, there's a field next to me.
Wake up. I need you to put this on.
He covered my face and brought me in. And along the way there is when I tried to escape. I reached for the door. I don't know if he broke the lock, but I can open it.
Her escape attempt has serious consequences.
I had paid for that one. He was the type, if you do something, you pay for it. He tied me up where I couldn't move at all, in ways that I couldn't even explain to you how he tied me up and did horrible things to me, left horrible marks, just abused me, just went crazy. Rage, it's the only way I can explain it. He hit me and hit me and hit me and just did horrible things to me.
I think this will work just fine.
He told me the consequences if I'd leave. He told me that screaming wouldn't help. I remember falling asleep, still tied up.
Wouldn't want anything to happen now, would we?
By Wednesday morning, Leah has been missing for 12 hours. Tim Henry faces the gravity of the situation. Leah's chances of survival are diminishing with every passing hour.
We've got to pick up the pace. We have got to pick up the search team. We have got to do everything we can to make this go quicker.
Before sunrise, Leah's parents appear on Houston television, pleading for information and for their daughter's safe return.
We all called all the TV stations. We were trying to get some publicity. We wanted to get this out.
The community answers their pleas, and 200 volunteers join the search for Leah. While the FBI and Houston police track incoming leads.
The lead that you miss or the lead that doesn't get covered in a timely and thorough manner may be the most important lead that you get in the investigation.
A promising lead comes in quickly and raises investigators' hopes. The day before Leah disappeared, four different girls were approached in a Houston neighborhood. A middle-aged man had attempted to lure them into a white hatchback, a car similar to the one used in Leah's abduction.
We began to develop the opinion that we were dealing with one and the same individual. In one case, the suspect had identified himself as a police officer to a child and tried to abduct her under the pretense of being a police officer.
The man's actions attracted the attention of a neighbor who made a mental note of the car's Texas license plate, NYZ53W. It's a lucky break in the case, but will it help find this little girl in time?
Everything from day one, from every second that I remembered, I'd write it down.
What are you doing? Huh? What is this?
He caught me and he tore it up.
You can pay for this. It's gonna be bad!
So I got punished for that.
FBI agents know they're dealing with a very mobile predator. They release the updated details of the suspect and his vehicle to the press.
That's so critical to get all the information you can, because you don't know at the time. One little thing that you found out may be essential in resolving the case or rescuing a victim.
Investigators uncover two recent kidnappings with uncanny similarities to Leah's case. One in Louisiana and another in Texas. 2 months earlier, in San Antonio, Texas, a 9-year-old girl is playing in her apartment complex when she's approached by a man in a white hatchback who asks her for help. She's kidnapped and held in a boarded-up cabin where she's repeatedly assaulted and tortured by a sexual sadist.
He was doing things that causes physical anguish for the victim, and that's something they do for themselves, for their own gratification.
After 5 days, the little girl was let out of a car only a block away from her home. Then, a month later, an 11-year-old named Lisa was abducted at gunpoint from her Louisiana apartment complex. Taken by a middle-aged man in a white hatchback.
I'm a police officer. I have some official police business. Can you get in the car, please?
He identified himself as a police officer, had a fake badge, and was able to lure her into the vehicle.
There was a witness to the abduction. Lisa was playing with her 6-year-old sister. Their mother came outside only moments later.
You and Lisa need to come inside. It's starting to get late and we're gonna have dinner soon. And then she told me that she didn't know where Lisa was, that she got into a car with a man. And that's when I knew something, but I didn't want to face it. It could be something really bad.
The FBI was immediately called in to help Slidell police with the investigation.
We came up with no suspects whatsoever. It was extremely frustrating.
Frustrating for authorities and heartbreaking for Lisa's mother.
Is she hurt? Is she scared? But I just kept thinking that we've got to find her.
13 days later, Lisa turned up at the New Orleans bus station. She was found by police officers and safely returned to her family.
It was a big relief, and we just got so excited. Thank God they found her. We were just overjoyed to know that she was safe.
At first, it was almost disbelief. It's just something that doesn't usually happen.
Lisa reported being taken to a cabin in a wooded area where she was repeatedly raped. The chilling details convinced the FBI all three incidents are related. All the victims are between 9 and 11 years old. The abductor is seen driving a white 2-door hatchback, and the suspect's description is nearly identical. A large, middle-aged white man.
So we began to put together a picture of the possibility that these cases were all the same suspect. That quickly became the direction of the investigation.
We knew that our offender had abducted and released at least two of his previous victims. What we didn't know was whether there were other victims, and if some of those victims were murdered.
And there seemed to be a certain desperation and increasing frequency of these attacks. And any offender can change from a pedophile to a killer in a matter of seconds.
He had a gun. He left it out, and he'd show me bullets, you know, and he'd warn me, sitting right next to the gun, wondering if I could actually make it work and could actually escape and kill him. But then fear took over.
You know what happens when you're bad?
It was by no means over until it was over. So you had hope, but you were still in despair in that your daughter's out there and you can't do anything to help her.
It's 24 hours since Leah disappeared, and Tim Henry remains convinced he is going to get his daughter back.
I never gave up hope that Leah was alive. And I would go to bed at night and I'm going, Leah, I'm here. I can't feel you. I can't touch you. But I'm still here. And I'm pretty sure you're still out there. I'm pretty sure you're still alive. I'm not positive, but I just can't imagine you not being alive.
11-year-old Leah Henry is in the hands of a sadistic serial predator. She has endured hours of abuse, but somehow still clings to life.
I was scared for myself. I was scared for my family. I didn't know what they were thinking. I didn't want them to be mad. I didn't want them to be scared. I didn't want them thinking that I was dead.
Hoping that help is on the way, Leah does everything she can to survive.
He'd leave and pretty much be gone most of the day. He'd lock the door. I heard dogs, I heard helicopters. I'd yell and I'd yell and I'd yell. My ankle was tied up. I had to pretty much cut my skin in order to get out, but I was able to squirm in and out. So I'd get out of it, walk around, try to figure out what was around me. But every time he'd come back, I'd always be back in that, you know, just before he'd get inside. I think I could have escaped with the window. I was just afraid that there were alarms or there were cameras or that was there something, you know.
She is paralyzed with fear about what might happen if she tries to escape again.
I was too afraid of everything outside of the cabin, thinking that everybody else was like him, that everyone in the area was like him, or that if I was found, someone else would hurt me and it would be worse.
Agents suspect Leah is in the hands of a sexual predator, wanted in two previous abductions. Beyond matching victim descriptions, investigators spot another connection.
A pattern was emerging. We had an offender utilizing the I-10 corridor between San Antonio and Louisiana, and that he was assaulting, attempting to assault, abducting, or attempting to abduct a number of young children.
He is an offender adept at disguises and tricks to lure in young children.
A person was able to go in and out of different scenarios and use what ploy would be most appropriate.
The media labels this sexual sadist the I-10 Predator, named for the interstate that seems to be his trolling ground. Agents are acutely aware there isn't a moment to waste. This predator has held each victim longer than the one before, and his level of violence has increased with each abduction.
I'll be back.
A day after Leah's disappearance, FBI agents finally get good news. There's a hit on the suspect's license plate. It's a lead that takes them 600 miles away to Amarillo, Texas. One they hope will bring them closer to Leah. But it's a big letdown. The registered owner of the white hatchback is not their suspect.
He had sold that vehicle to another person to an individual whose name he did not know, but the individual fit the description of the suspect.
FBI agents decide to re-interview the two previous victims, hoping to pinpoint the cabin's location.
From their description, we felt like it was likely a hunting cabin, and we didn't know where it was. We felt like, from what we were hearing, that it was in Central Texas.
But one of the young girls remembers seeing a road sign.
She was able to pull a cover from over her head, and she remembers seeing a sign that said Shiner.
Shiner, Texas is off of I-10 near Seguin, Texas. 3 hours away from Houston, it's a rural area known for deer hunting.
And at that point, everyone thought it was at Seguin. The search really was moving out of the Houston area into the Seguin area.
It's the lead the FBI has been hoping for. 150 miles to the west, the FBI descends full force on the Seguin area in an effort to find the cabin and Leah before it's too late.
They had a pretty good description of what the cabin looked like, but there's hundreds of these things out in the hill country.
In the cabin, Leah's captor reveals his plans for her future.
He was gonna marry me. He was gonna make me be his wife, or that he was gonna bring his friend over. They were gonna do things, or that they were gonna bring animals and just horrible things. How he talked to me, he was so off mentally, crazy, obviously. But I don't know, he was really demented, sick and demented.
The hours of ground and aerial searches for the cabin or the car have turned up absolutely nothing.
Of course, the ultimate disappointment in those cases is to the family, secondary to the investigators, because we're hoping each and every time we pick up that phone, this is the clue that's going to bring this child back home.
We all knew we were dealing with a huge area, and that we needed somebody's help from the public.
The Bureau releases specific details of the cabin to the media, but they know it's a double-edged sword.
There was an amount of discussion about whether or not to release that, because we're always taking into account that our offender is watching the media.
And their fears are warranted.
When he showed me the newspaper article, what I saw in the newspaper was my family. I don't remember if I saw a picture of him in it, but I did see my family, and I started to cry. I wanted them to look for me, but part of me didn't want them to hurt or have to go through that, because I knew what I was feeling, and I knew there's just a million times worse. He kept asking about my family. I was like, they're gonna look for me. They're not gonna stop. They're not gonna let me go.
There was a point where I couldn't control the events. I couldn't do anything. So I really needed to reach out for support. And that's where the pain for me was that Leah, we were feeling all that help, and we knew she wasn't getting any.
San Antonio media picks up the story and starts broadcasting details of the car and the cabin that authorities are searching for. The FBI hopes that someone out there is watching.
He made a fire one night, you know, and I could see everything going on in whatever town we were near, you know, and it was hard to know that there is a world out there that I'm supposed to be a part of, but I'm not.
2 days after Leah Henry's disappearance, FBI agents and Texas investigators scour police records for reports of the white hatchback involved in her abduction. Their search comes back with a hit. Several months before, near San Antonio, a traffic officer issued a warning ticket that may hold key information.
The officer that made that stop had collected information with respect to who was driving that car, and that individual had identified himself as Gregory Cox.
Surprisingly, Gregory Cox's address is in Wyoming. When FBI agents try to track him down, they discover Greg Cox is deceased. But he has a brother, 2 years older, who matches the description of the man they're looking for. His name is Gary Dale Cox, a dangerous and high-risk sex offender.
We were positive at this point that Gary Dale Cox was our offender. In addition to his extensive criminal history, we were now receiving reports of up to 15 victims that had been approached by him.
That was the moment that we knew we had him, that we knew who we were dealing with. But you don't have your victim back yet. It was a huge step in the investigation.
We don't know where he is. We just know who he is.
At this point, we still had to catch him.
Hot on the trail of Gary Dale Cox, the FBI and local authorities scramble to find his latest victim, Leah Henry. Before Cox does the unthinkable.
I wasn't gonna have his kids. I wasn't gonna marry him. I wanted to be out. I was gonna find a way out.
Leah decides to document her surroundings with the camera she still has in her school backpack.
That's why I did a lot of the pictures and the writing that I did. Because I knew if someone would find it, link something together to find me. Whether I was dead or not, they'd know something. You know, they'd sort of know the story on my end.
While Leah is doing everything she can to survive, authorities are using every resource they have to find her.
Because of media exposure, there was a wide swath across Southeast Texas that knew that this girl was missing and could likely be in the hands of a serial offender.
In the little town of Kerrville, Texas, Sergeant David Beleiter, a deputy with the Kerr County Sheriff's Office, hears of Leah's kidnapping.
In Kerr County, we have a lot of deer hunting cabins. This would be a prime area for somebody to come if they were trying to hide out.
By Friday morning, Leah Henry has been missing for 4 days. The FBI manhunt is in high gear as Leah's father awakes from another sleepless night.
We were very aware of how bad it looked. The longer it went, the less likely we were to have a successful outcome.
That morning, before I went to work, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get this guy today. I had a overwhelming feeling that this guy was in the Texas Hill Country.
The media attention has done exactly what agents fear. It spooks Leah's abductor.
We woke up, he left for, I want to say, like an hour or two. Came back, locked me in the house while he was outside. Yeah, I just heard a bunch of banging, pretty much. And he came inside and he's like, well, I'm almost done, we're gonna go, so get your things together. I'm thinking for the best that he's taking me home, which I didn't think the best was gonna happen, but for the worst that I was gonna go to Mexico or that I was gonna be gone.
Meanwhile, Kerr County Sheriff's gets a tip. A caller reports seeing a white hatchback like the one authorities are looking for. Sergeant David Beleiter is dispatched to a sparsely populated area with numerous hunting cabins.
I was really not even aware there was a road there until that day. That's how secluded it is.
I put my backpack on and he covered my face and he sort of led me. And he got mad because my backpack bumped into the car. And sure enough, I got paint on it from because he repainted it. And I got in the car.
Lie down.
Deputy Beleiter cautiously drives down the dirt road, but stops short.
I saw the red car, got out my binoculars, saw it didn't have the right license plate on it. So at that time I thought, well, this is must not be the right place. I saw somebody in the car. I thought, well, I'll go tell them what I'm doing on their property.
The deputy parks in the driveway, blocking the red car's only way out.
I saw his car door open, and he stepped out, and I snapped real quick. I saw he had a gun in his hand.
Drop your weapon now!
He jumped out of the car, ran around to the other side with his gun out, and I was watching everything.
Drop your weapon now.
And I never will forget, because he looked at me, and he did like this.
Mister, I said drop your weapon now!
And he started walking toward the back of the car.
Your weapon now!
Belider radios to dispatch. This is gonna be our man.
So I drew my weapon, and I was ordering him to put his gun down. I said, put your gun down, put your gun down.
Drop your weapon right now! Drop your weapon now!
What he doesn't know is that it's Leah Henry's abductor, and 11-year-old Leah is inside the car.
I made my mind up that when he gets to the rear tire, I'm gonna take him out.
Go to the cop car.
So he said, run to the cop car. Sounded like he knew it was over and he was caught. And I grabbed my stuff and I ran to the cop car.
All of a sudden, I see this little girl that's running toward me. And now she's right in the line of fire. If I shoot or he shoots, she is most likely gonna get hit. I said, get in, lay down on the floorboard.
He made sure I was safe, and I got in the middle seat so I could see everything. And they just stood there with their guns pointing at each other. He pretty quickly got in his car, and we sped off.
As Belider speeds away, he hears a shot. But he continues to the end of the road.
I was in a hurry. I knew he had a gun. He was in a better position than I was, so I knew we were targets as we were leaving there. I'd already advised dispatch that I had the little girl. She was safe, and I thought, well, he will be coming out this road. There's only one way in, one way out.
All right, sweetie, you go in this nice lady. She's gonna get you to your parents.
Leah is quickly taken to the local hospital.
I knew I was okay and safe, but then at the same time, I didn't trust anybody. But I was so grateful at the same time that, you know, I was alive.
When backup units arrive, they make the dangerous drive down the road to the cabin.
When we actually got to the scene, we found him. He had already committed suicide.
With the law closing in, the kidnapper ends his life with a bullet to his brain. Inside the vehicle, police find a badge, wallet, and stun gun. Inside the wallet, a driver's license positively IDs Leah's abductor as Gary Dale Cox, the man the FBI suspected.
It could have been a really, really bad situation had he started shooting. My fear is that Leah could have been injured or killed.
Inside the cabin, they find duct tape, rope, and zip ties, along with Leah's notes describing the horrible things done to her. Her backpack holds the camera with the pictures she took to prove it. Police and FBI agents are amazed at how close Cox came to getting away.
If I had delayed my response to that call for 1 or 2 minutes, maybe I would have passed him on the way, but I was not looking for a red vehicle, so he probably would have drove right by me.
Back in Houston, Tim Henry hears the words he thought he might never hear.
We found her. She's alive. I dropped the phone. Then I went into the house, and Linda was there, my brother was there, and his wife. She's alive. Yeah, you really go from just the depth of despair to ecstasy. Boom. Yeah, it's hard to imagine how that is, but we just jumped up. Police officer was there. Within 5 minutes, we were out of the house, down to the FBI headquarters.
They fly Tim and Linda Henry to Kerrville. For a reunion with their daughter.
They gave me the best hugs that I've ever had. And we just sat there and choked up, teared up, cried. I felt finally free of him. That once I was in their arms, he couldn't hurt me. That they weren't gonna hurt anymore. That I was actually right there with them.
I don't think I've ever been that happy. And that's true. I can't ever think of another moment in life that has brought that kind of joy to me.
That's all I wanted that day. That whole day that I was sitting in the back of his car not knowing where he was driving to, all I wanted was just to be in their arms, to see them one more time. That's all I had wished for. And it happened. My wishes came true.
A noisy homecoming crowd greets Leah and her family.
When we drove up to my house, there were so many people, so many people. I had an uncontrollable smile on my face, literally. And everyone was comforting me. Everyone was showing me so much love and support. And I think that's when I realized my family had never given up hope, and I was found, and everything really did work out.
There's no more rewarding feeling for a police officer, an investigator, than to return a child to her parents. That's as good as it gets.
The rescue and safe return of Leah Henry is a tribute to her bravery, her family's persistence, and those who work tirelessly to find her.
To be able to take somebody's little girl back to them, where she's going to be safe now, was an incredible moment for those of us that were involved.
People fighting for my life, people who didn't even know me, and it makes such a big difference in the road to recovery. My life actually feels complete and happy and something worth living for.